thoughts on wildlife photography. This is the Wildlife Podcast. Hey everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from WildEye, and welcome to another episode of the WildEye Podcast. So I'm going to read something for you, and this is directly from Perplexity AI, which is one of the more, the AI models that I use most. It's more based on research, so you ask it a question, it looks through the internet and gives you a shortened answer with all the reference points if you want to go and dig deeper. So my question was, what is more important in wildlife photography, technical understanding of the craft or understanding animal behavior? The answer goes as follows. In wildlife photography, understanding animal behavior is often considered more important than technical understanding of the craft. While technical skills are crucial for capturing high quality images, having a deep understanding of animal behavior allows photographers to anticipate and capture unique moments that showcase the essence and natural behaviors of the animals they photographed. This knowledge enables photographers to create images with artistic intent, adding interest and intrigue to their work beyond just documenting animals. By studying animal behavior, photographers can locate animals more effectively, predict their movements, and capture shots that tell compelling stories or reveal an animal's personality. Ultimately, a blend of technical expertise and a profound understanding of animal behavior is key to producing impactful and meaningful wildlife photographs. So, where this now comes from is one of the clients I'm working with is we're doing a deep dive on his photography, and all based on a life goal in a couple of years to kind of move on from work and look at it more seriously. So we're looking at it from a coaching point of view. How do you transition over time? And then also doing a super deep dive, which is very interesting, into the photographic world and nature photography. What do you need to do? Why is it important? And so on and so forth. So during this kind of coaching process, we are putting out goals and both photographic and kind of how life will map to it in order to be better. Now, the one thing that's come up is there is a competition that this client of mine wants to enter. And later today, when I chat to him again for this week's session, we're going to look at what it takes to enter a certain competition. So this particular competition is based on close-ups or portraits of animals. And we're then going to say, okay, so how can you best prepare for that competition? Right. So we'll obviously go deeper tonight, but the idea is for me, I would go and look at the competition, see what the rules are, obviously. Then I would look at the judges and I would go down a deep dive. And this I've did earlier today, is to look at all the judges, look at the style of photograph they create. Look at, for example, the competitions they've judged before. What do they look for and so on. So if you are going to enter competitions, you can stack the odds in your favor. Anyway, so I looked at some of the judges of this competition my client's going to enter, and I read through their bios, looked at some of the images and so on and so forth. But the one thing that came up for me is on the one judge's website, he also selling a wildlife photography course. And there is zero mention in this course of wildlife behavior or animal behavior, and it only speaks to the technical side of the craft. And this is a wildlife photography course, right? Now, you can have, and the catchphrases that always gets dropped during these kind of things is award-winning photographer, right? Great composition. Take amazing, stunning images, right? Learn to understand light. Stunning portraits, environmental landscape images, capturing the right shot at the perfect moment. But nothing gets said about the animal behavior side of it. And this is not the first time I've kind of gone down this rabbit hole, but I do think it is vitally important that if you want to create better wildlife images, you understand animal behavior better, right? So later this year, I'm going to be doing a series of presentations for the Journal of Wildlife Photography. I'll be chatting to Bill from there, and on the 19th of September, I'm doing Beyond the Lens, The Art of Wildlife Storytelling. And the short little blurb that I've sent to Bill so far, I'm going to expand on this obviously as I build this presentation. Move beyond technical aspects and delve into the storytelling aspect of wildlife photography by looking at factors like animal behavior and environmental factors, right? For example, if you go to Manapul, certain times of the year, there's more dust, the light angle falls through the forest and you get a different type of light. Share narratives behind some of my most memorable wildlife encounters and discuss how composition, timing, and context contributes to powerful storytelling through images. So that's the first presentation of September, Beyond the Lens, the Art of Wildlife Storytelling. The second presentation in October, the 17th, is Wildlife in Motion, Capturing Dynamic Behavior, right? And my blurb for that, shift the focus to action shots, animal in flight, hunting, or playing. Discuss faster shutter speeds, panning techniques, and anticipating behavior to map together, and then showcase images that freeze moments and movement and energy. So this comes from, because the Journal of Wildlife Photography got hold of me, and after my presentation, I did B&H, I did this at the Chicago Photography School as well, which was called Secret Lives of Animals. And it's videos and moments and understanding when is the lion going to yawn, what happens when the tongue comes out, what happens next, when an elephant's drinking, what happens next, when a giraffe is drinking, when does the S-curve happen, and so on and so forth, right? So Bill got hold of me on the back of the presentation. I did in B&H. You can go look for it online. It's Secret Life of Animals on the B&H channel. And I'm going deeper on those two presentations. Now, I am going to be looking to take both of these on the road as well into the US in October. So at this stage, it's very early, but I'll share with you now, looking at doing either San Fran or LA, Texas, Chicago, and then New York to present these two in real life as well. These are going to be webinars, but to present them. Because I believe 100% that if you want to be a better wildlife photographer, you need to look at understanding your subject better. I'm going to butcher this next quote, and I cannot recall who had said it, but it was something in the line of, you can only photograph well the things you truly love, right? Now, if you truly love wildlife, surely you're going to spend some time getting to know the subjects. What is it that drives them? What makes them do the things that they do? Because if you understand that, you can fuck up your aperture, you can fuck up your shutter speed, but if you get the pivotal moment of behavior, you could still pull the shot off, right? I've said this before as well. The amount of times I'll be on a hosted photographic tour and I'll be walking around the table doing Lightroom with people, or even on a one-on-one with a private guided safari, I would be sitting down and looking at the images people are choosing, because on the trip they want to pick an image, they want to put it onto social, but then we'll process it and something just doesn't sit right. But then we go back into the catalog in Lightroom, and then two images later or two frames earlier, there's the gold. But if they understood what makes the animal behavior unique, if they understood, or if you understand what it is that makes the image of a lion stand out above another one, foot position, body position, head position, eyes, ears, tail, everything means something. The more you know, the better your images are going to be. So if you have a lion walking right to left through your frame, you can shoot that at a distance. If he's walking right to left, you can shoot that at aperture f5.6 and f8, depending how far you are, it's going to look very similar. But the position of the animal's body parts is what makes the difference. So anyway, so backtrack. I was looking at these judges and the type of images they create, and then the wildlife photography course that's on offer. And I was, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed, you know what I mean? That nothing gets mentioned about animal behavior. And how important that is to me, a proper wildlife photography course. And we did this at Wild Eye many years ago. We presented Wildlife Photography 101, which is a weekend course. Half of it needs to be animal behavior. What is it that you look, how can you photograph something and create really good images if you don't even know what it means when that thing does something? The Fleming grimace, right? It looks amazing when an animal does, especially a lion, but it's not an aggressive thing. But then it gets posted on Instagram, say, oh, look at this snarling lion. No, he's actually just smelling the female's urine to try and determine whether she's sexually ready for him. You know what I mean? So there are so many of these things. And each, I almost said domain, each ecosystem, each area you go to will have its own nuances that you need to understand in order to take all of this amazing photographic skill that you have and execute it correctly. You can only photograph well the things that you truly love. And if you love wildlife, you need to dig deeper. I wonder sometimes as well, there's a podcast called, let me just find the name, I think it's called Modern Wisdom. Yes, Modern Wisdom. It's a podcast hosted by Chris Williamson. Phenomenal podcast, one of my favorites. And in one of the episodes a couple of months ago, he spoke about the moment he decided to take the podcast to the next level, to go pro, so to speak. And it's the same as if you were to decide, I'm going to take my basketball, my golf, my swimming, whatever it is, seriously, and go pro. There's certain things you need to do. So now, I did an exercise a little bit earlier on where I went through a whole bunch of clients who've traveled with us, people I follow, people who follow me, whatever the case is, and I looked at some of the Instagram feeds, right? Sorry, profiles. Feed is what comes up when you scroll all the way up. Profiles when you go to someone's actual page on Instagram. And I'm wanting to say that a lot of people that have been shooting with us have, over the years, gotten better, right? A lot better. And their images show it. But then you start reaching this plateau. You get to a point where all of your images are pretty good, but they all look very similar. Now, at that stage, you have to ask yourself, what can I do in order to be better? To go pro, for lack of a better term. And I'm not saying charge money for your images, right? But how can you go pro? Now, going pro means you just respect the thing you're doing enough to take it really flippant seriously. But I'm looking, as we speak, I'm scrolling through a couple of profiles here, and it all looks the same, right? How do you go pro? How do you take it to the next level? Now, you can go and study. I'm assuming at this stage you understand aperture to the point where you're comfortable to tell someone what it is and to execute it in order to get the benefit from what it does to the image, right? I would say the majority of you, the majority of people wanting to be better at wildlife photography needs to go and study wildlife behavior, animal behavior more. You need to get a better understanding of what the light does when you're on the equator, for example, shooting a sunset in Kenya. Is it the same as when you're shooting a sunset in Cape Town with the ocean air and the ocean clouds, right? Those are the differences I think that's going to make you go pro. But yeah, looking through some of the images here, they all start looking the same. And if you want to be better, you can study aperture and shutter speed until the end of days. Once you get it, right? And that's why I think a lot of people are falling flat. And I know I probably sound like a broken record, but understanding animal behavior is what's going to make you more attuned to what it is that is the pivotal moment. What is the magical moment that you need to capture? If you're just rattling off frames, 27, and then you look in Lightroom and you pick one, hopefully you pick the right one. Or if you understand animal behavior, you'll know what the right one is. Anyway, so that's just some random thoughts on wildlife photography. I did a bit of a dive, like I said earlier on, preparing for my client tonight, where we're going to look deeper into a lot of these things. But yeah, it's if you do photograph for competitions, go and look at the judges. See what they like. See how they shoot. Right? What I did also find interesting, sorry, just as a thought, is one of the judges in this competition hasn't got any new images on his website since 2014. So surely you've got to stay active and move with trends. Maybe tread in wildlife photography, something we should speak about as well in our next episode. Anyway, so yeah, if you take it seriously enough, look at all the aspects of the craft. I know we get into gear whoring and, oh my God, my lens is bigger than yours. I shoot Sony. I just shoot Canon. Honestly, nobody cares. Nobody cares, right? I care about the final image. Is it a great representation of the sighting? Did you capture the heart and soul, if you will, of the animal, the pivotal animal behavior moment? That's what matters, right? If you're still harping on about what gear you're shooting rather than understanding animal behavior better, that's why you're not better as a photographer. Anyway, I'm going to go. I have to prep. I've got a little bit of work to do, and I will chat in the next episode. If you guys have any questions, please hit me up. jerry@wildeye.com, that's the email, or Jerry van der Walt on all the major platforms. I am off to Svalbard on Saturday this week, so I'll more than likely be recording the next two episodes remotely from that side. I'm going to try and get it up on every Tuesday, like the podcast is coming out, and then full breakdown of the trip when I get back. But for now, though, good luck with your photography, happy shooting, and thank you for listening. My name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.